Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we're going to be chatting about routine self-care and also a little bit of skincare. So a little bit of both, if you will. So I don't know about you, Leanne, but I feel like as I've gotten older, I feel like pressure to put more emphasis on like skincare routines and stuff. Do you feel this way?
I don't think so. I think it's more me wanting to be more accountable and, you know, say washing my face regularly, that type of thing, because I feel like it's really easy to slip off the train and like not do it enough. Cause you know, those nights when you're just like, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. And I feel like it's kind of similar to flossing your teeth and you're like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. But then it's like, once you skip it once, it's easier to keep skipping it. I don't know if it's like necessarily pressure. It's just I want to take good care of myself and I want my skin to be happy.
I feel like it's partially that I want to take care of myself, but I feel like it's also partially a pressure I feel from society in general, just because I feel like there's this notion that like when women get older, there's still this pressure to look very young. And not that we're old. Like, come on. Like, we're like mid-20s. Like, we're not that old. But you know what I mean? I feel like there's this pressure of like, oh, you want to look like you're like 20-something forever, which is like kind of weird, honestly. I think that it's strange the way that like society treats aging for women. But I feel like there's pressure like, oh, put on sunscreen so you don't get wrinkles. Oh, do this so you'll look this certain way. So I feel like it's partially I want to do it for myself to take care of myself. But I feel like it's also partially I feel this outside pressure.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's there. I think for myself, at least right now, maybe because it's like, I feel like for me, like I'm not old enough for my skin to quote look old. So I don't really think about it that much. I think also I read once that it was like the best thing you can do for your skin is stay out of the sun. And I'm like, good thing I'm a homebody.
I know, because I'm like, one of the things that I've tried to be more cognizant of now that I'm getting older is putting on sunscreen. I don't have any on today, which is not great because I'm sitting directly in front of my window. But oh well.
Okay, to that point though, I feel like when I was younger, I was always good about putting on sunscreen, say if I was going to go to the beach or something where you're out all day. But I think like what you're saying is, let's say you're sitting in front of a window for a really long time. Or when you go driving in the car, those are the situations that I don't always put it on and I probably should.
Yes. Okay. So I think that one of the reasons why I don't always put it on is because like they say that you're supposed to put on like a high SPF. I say they in the general sense. This is just what I've heard from media, which take it as a grain of salt. Could be correct. Could be incorrect. I'm not a dermatologist. How would I know? But I feel like it's said that like you should be putting on like SPF 50 like multiple times a day. And one of the things that I think is important for that is to note like you get sun exposure all the time. Like if it's cloudy, you're still getting exposure to UV rays, like you're still getting the sun. But another thing that I question sometimes is the sunscreen that I'm putting on my face. Is it going to do more harm than good? Does that make sense? Like, because of what's in there? I don't know. Is it good for me to put this on my face or is it not good? I don't know. I think for the most part it's good, but I don't know.
I personally don't use chemical sunscreens, which I think some of those, look it up yourself, but I think some of those have been linked to health issues. So that's something that I do. But again, I don't know the science behind it. Also, at least it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't know, maybe there may be issues with that. But like if it's slightly better than the chemical sunscreens and it's obviously better than getting like skin cancer or something like that from being out in the sun and like all of that, especially because of like, I don't know, this could just be like my own thoughts, but I feel like the sun damage is like getting worse than it was when we were little, which I could just be making this up. Maybe, again, it could also be related to aging, but I feel like I burn so much easier now than I did when I was little.
Really? I feel like I burn less easily, at least on my face, but on my shoulders, like my shoulders burn super easily now. And I'm like, ooh, like it, anytime I go out in the summer, I always have to remind myself, like, put some sunscreen on your shoulders, even if it's just like an hour walk to go to the grocery store and back. Gotta put on sunscreen because otherwise you'll burn. And I think it's also something to consider, like, as someone who has had a parent who had skin cancer, it's like, well, my parent had skin cancer, so I should probably be extra cautious and try to put sunscreen on like more often than not. I guess there's like this pressure from society, you know, to put on sunscreen for anti-aging purposes, but there's also like the health aspect of it where it's like, well, if I had a family member who had skin cancer, like, yeah, maybe I should put sunscreen on a daily basis just so I'm not putting myself in a riskier situation.
To what you were saying, I think I was also referring to, say, my shoulders or like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes like my legs or something, if I'm at the beach, I don't tend to burn on my face. Cross my fingers. But I think I learned this a while ago too, but you know how people would always kind of be like, well, it's a tan, you're not burned, but then the whole tanning is skin damage still. So there's that. But I forget my other point. So I'm just rambling.
Yeah, I mean, I think like when it comes to putting on sunscreen, I feel like most of the time, like my legs usually don't burn, but anything that's like closer to the sun burns. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, is it because it's proximity-wise closer to the sun, or is it just maybe our skin is more sensitive there?
I personally think it's an angle thing. Because say like when you're at the beach, you're lying down. So I feel like I would get burned in different places than if I was just walking, where I feel like it is coming down on your shoulders. But I did remember my other point, where the whole message about like, wear sunscreen because then you won't get wrinkles. I feel like that's just really dumb messaging. Because you should be wearing it to protect your skin, not because you don't want wrinkles.
Yeah, and I think like that messaging constantly gets pushed towards women like all the time. Like, for example, you'll see foundation that has like SPF 30 in it or something, right? Where it's like, oh, like you need to preserve your skin. You need to do this so you don't get wrinkles. And I think there's just like this is kind of evolving into a societal thing, but I think there's like this massive pressure, especially on women, to always look youthful, that I think is really hard to deal with. Because then a lot of the times, yeah, you might be doing something, for example, putting on sunscreen, but are you doing it because you want to look youthful, or are you doing it because you want to protect yourself? And I think it, you know, definitely makes you think and like self-examine, like, why am I doing this?
I think for me, the sunscreen is definitely more a protection thing, because I can tend to get anxious and I'm like, if there's something that can prevent this, I'm going to do it. But I think an interesting conversation that's related to that I think is more, say, on the spectrum of the messaging around like aging, is skincare routines outside of sunscreen. Like when you're flipping through magazines or like on one of those beauty store websites, when there's like 1,000 different serums and 1,000 different toners and all these different things. And more recently, I've been reading articles about skincare and they're like, you really just need 3 things. But then when you go to these places, there's so many different products and like this has this ingredient, this one has this ingredient. And you're just like, what am I actually supposed to do that my skin actually needs so it's not like dry and flaky?
Yeah. And I think, personally, I think if you're wearing this is going to kind of go back to our previous point. I think if you're wearing sunscreen for protection or for anti-aging, I think that's up to you. And like, if you want to do it for either one of those reasons, I'm not going to look down on you for either reason. But I do think that like society does put like kind of a pressure on women to participate in skincare and participate in wearing sunscreen specifically for anti-aging rather than protection necessarily.
Kind of related to that though is, I think I've seen this in conversation about like, say, shampoos or something, or like body wash, the fact that like they make gender specific body, you know, like you've seen it where it's like man body wash, and I'm like, what does that even mean?
Or like they'll, oh my gosh, sometimes they'll say ones that are like, if it's a guy's body wash, it'll say stone or something like that, where it's something that's supposed to be really tough. Whereas for women, it's like flowers, coconut, and all of these other like lighter things. I think it's so funny because I'm like, honestly, they both smell good to me. I would use either one. It doesn't really matter.
That's my thing. I'm like, I have no problem having the different scents. I just think it's funny when you, like, when you said, oh, let's say the stone body wash, it's always in like a black or like gray or something container. And then like the flower one is like pink and has like little flowers all over the place. And it's just interesting.
I think it's very funny. I think what would be really interesting, and I wonder if this is like where marketing's going to go for this next generation, is I wonder if they're going to make more like gender neutral products, like gender neutral body washes, gender neutral like hair products to use. Because I feel like the upcoming generations look at gender a lot differently from how it was looked at when we were growing up. So for some people, it's like, yeah, I maybe don't strongly tie myself to like the gender I was born as, or maybe you're transgender, or, you know, maybe you just like the body wash that was intended to be marketed towards men. I wonder if we're going to see more gender neutral products hit the market and have success.
That made me think, and I think we've said this before in other episodes about the whole, when you're getting older, you don't really care about other people's opinions as much, where I think when I was little, I'd be like, or like a teenager, I'd be like, I can't buy that one. It looks like the man's body wash. Whereas me now, I'm like, if I like the scent of it, I'd probably just buy it anyway. I'm at the point where I don't care. But I think not everybody is.
Yeah. But I think that that's one of the things that, like, I'm kind of hopeful, like, maybe we'll see more of that in marketing in the future, just because I think that it does leave a lot open to choice then, right? It's like, well, you can pick something that you like, not necessarily because you're a guy or a girl or however you would prefer to identify, but you just pick a scent that you like. They're all good.
Have your scents evolved? Because I feel like mine might be evolving because, say, once you start getting the messages and you start doing body wash and all that, I was very much into the like strawberry and cream, vanilla, all that stuff. Kyle likes to laugh at me because those were the ones I'd buy. And then like his trends were more like kind of like the fresh, like not food flavored scent.
Like crisp linen.
Yeah, like stuff like that. And I think as I get older, I feel like I also like those types of scents better and I don't necessarily need to smell like a sugar cookie.
Yeah, I feel like when I was younger, it was very much like it needed to smell super, super sweet. But I think as I've gotten older, I appreciate things that are like more like mildly sweet. Like I like a good vanilla. I like a good coconut. I'm not super big into the crisp laundry type scents. But that's just me personally. I like the lighter versions of things that are out there. But I don't want to smell like you walked into a Bath and Body Works and picked up like the candy green apple or whatever.
Yeah. And I think on the same end, I don't want to smell like Axe necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like some of those scents, maybe they've been like changing because I feel like they're less aggressive.
Yes.
But I just remember like, say, middle school locker room. That version is very intense.
It hurts my nose just to think about it. No, I definitely agree. One of the things that I've been curious about maybe starting to look into, though, while we're on the topic of scents and whatnot, is I've been wondering, like, maybe I should go towards a scentless body wash, which, like, kind of makes me sad because I'm like, but I like smelling, like, the nice-smelling things. But also, like, I've heard that it disrupts your hormones because, like, you know, your skin is one of your largest organs. Like, we don't think about it as an organ, but technically it's an organ. So it does absorb whatever you put on it. And so I've been thinking, like, maybe I should switch over to a scentless body wash just for health's sake.
I feel like I've also started to read stuff like that, also in terms of moisturizers and things like that, because, again, maybe contact an actual, not dietitian.
Dermatologist.
That! I knew it began with a D. I think there's some, You know, like when there's like a generic like skincare article in like the newspaper or something in the health section, I feel like there've been more of them about how like the essential oils or the chemicals or whatever they're using that make things smell can like be irritants too.
Yeah.
Even if they're not going to like poison you, it can like give you rashes or things like that, dry your skin out.
Dude, speaking of, the other day I came across like an article or something that was talking about BPA and women's sports bras. Sorry, if you're a dude listening to this, I am so sorry, but like, we're going to talk about it. We're two women on a podcast. We're going to talk about it.
I saw that too, and I'm like, wow, that's lovely.
Yeah. So I think it's just like, there's starting to be more consciousness around like, well, what are you putting on your skin? Like, what are you doing to make sure that you're healthy? And I think it's looking not so much just at like, well, diet and exercise is something that you can do to be healthy. I think it's also looking more holistically at medicine, which I'm glad that we're kind of making that transition, but I think it does make it hard to sift through like, well, what actually works?
I think also it goes towards an element of privilege. Like, can you afford to go and buy those other brands that weren't listed in that article? Because let me tell you, sportswear is expensive. So most people, including me, cannot afford to just throw out their entire wardrobe because a news article says it's bad.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I think I was looking to see if the sports bras that I use are on there, but I don't think I saw them unless maybe there were multiple articles and maybe I just didn't find the right one. Do you know where I get my sports bras from though? So if they're not on the list, I would 10 out of 10 recommend their sports bras is Calvin Klein. Sounds super bougie. I've used their sports bras since high school. They are the comfiest sports bras I've ever used. I think that I really like them. You know, I think I get their like medium impact or whatever ones, but they're super nice. If you get them on a good sale, they're like $23, $15, sometimes even less. So I always like keep an eye out on their website when I know that I'm like, ooh, I should get a sports bra soon. Keep an eye out on their website, see if they're getting a sale.
FYI, this is not useful to anybody who's listening, but there are sales now. And honestly, they're really cute. And it looks like they do have some that are a little more like high support.
Yeah, I normally just I normally just get the racer back ones, like that are just like super plain, not strappy, just like basic. And I love them. I have been like a diehard user of their sports bras for a long time.
Oh my gosh. So I don't know if you know this about me, but Calvin Klein is kind of my Achilles heel in clothes.
Oh my gosh, I did not know this. Okay.
Kyle laughed at me. Like, whenever at Marshall's and there's Calvin Klein stuff and it fits, I just buy it. Like, it is a problem if I wasn't at Marshall's. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But the fact that you introduced me to their activewear line, like, this is really dangerous.
I'm glad I could be, like, the gateway person to get you to go and buy some of their stuff because it's so nice.
I'm on the like activewear section, which I don't think anybody listening is going to care, but everything's like 40 to 60% off.
It normally is. Like, I feel like I hardly ever see it up there for like full price. Like, occasionally you'll see a couple full price stuff that's like brand new or whatever, but I'm like, I just need the basic racer back sports bras. I'll just get it on sale. I don't care the color. Man, now I feel like I should have saved this for one of our like, what's it called? Like the ones that we do at the end of the quarter. And been like, this is my little hidden gem. I think there's like this overall consciousness about like what we're putting on our bodies, what we're introducing to our skin that is really interesting and has kind of taken off over the last couple of years. Like, I feel like when we were in college for undergrad, there was like, you gotta have like the full coverage foundation and all these other things that were really like heavy on your skin. And now I feel like it's very like, oh, you take care of your skin so then you can just kind of wear like the bare minimum.
Which I do because I am lazy and don't want to have to wash it off every night.
Oh, dude, same. I'm like 90% of the time.
The pigeon arrived. It's very distracting.
I saw him during Danny's podcast and I was like, oh, that's a pigeon. That's for sure a pigeon.
He's huge.
Yeah, he was really big. I was like, oh my goodness.
I love the chaos of this episode.
I know. I feel like we should maybe just keep some of these things in there just to show what happens behind the scenes and just be like, this is just what it is normally.
I like it.
I agree.
Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about skincare. We were talking about, oh, less coverage. Yeah, I agree. I usually don't wear like a lot of makeup to work. Not to be like, I'm not like other girls. I don't wear makeup. I feel like it's just genuinely like, no, I'm just lazy. I just don't want to wear the makeup.
You know that whole look with like hair and makeup that like is, oh, I woke up like this? No, I did wake up like this.
Oh, same. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, especially because now my workplace, it's like, it's just a whole bunch of women. Like, I feel like there's still some men who work there for sure. But it's a lot of women. And I feel like they're just like, you can show up however you want to. You can wear makeup. You cannot wear makeup. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect how professional you are. And I'm like, this is amazing.
I think like you said, though, I'm not anti-makeup. I'm lazy.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I'm like, I'm not one to crusade against makeup, just lazy.
I think also like putting it on is fun. The part that I hate is when you're tired at the end of the day and you have to get it off.
Oh my gosh, I know. Because then it's like you gotta take it off with the micellar water, and then you gotta wash your face like 5 times just to get it off your face. The effort. I could never.
I feel like I've always been in this camp where, one, I feel like it's kind of sad that you tend to think you're prettier when it's on, which I am sometimes guilty of, but it also makes me sad. But also, I've always been in the camp of like, I would rather sleep 15 more minutes than get up and do this.
Exactly. I think it's just like a logistical thing. It's not even like a looking down on people who wear makeup kind of thing, because honestly, people who wear makeup, and especially people who can like do really cute makeup, I'm jealous. Like, I wish that I could be you and have like this amazing like eyeshadow look. Like, I wish I could do that. I don't wear makeup enough to practice enough to get there. But I will fully admire it if you're wearing it. I'm like, that is awesome. Like, you look fantastic.
It's definitely a skill to make it look good. Like, I can do the mascara and eyeliner. I can do eyeshadow if you just plop it on your eye. But like the ones where they do all the shading and the gradients, I'm like, how?
Yeah, I learned how to do winged liner, I think like this past year. So it's taken me like over 20 years of life to learn how to do it. Yeah, so my makeup skills. You would think because I like art, I'd be great. Nope. Nope. They're very subpar.
I can do winged liner, but I think I saw an Instagram post once where it's like, they're sisters, not twins.
Yes, that is very much my mentality.
Because I've done many a time where you're trying to even them out, and then all of a sudden you look like a raccoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like way too thick all over the place. And then I'm like, also, back in the day when I used to line my under eye, do not do that, children. It is a big mistake. I look at those photos and I'm like, why? Why style in the mid-2010s? Why?
I kind of like a little bit of under eyeliner. I'm not going to lie. Not all the time, but on like brief occasions, just like a tasteful little.
Okay. A tip that I read at one point when I was still doing that regularly is like doing the like outer third or outer half. That looks good. But when I was doing like the full, like all the way around, it was very intense. I was not going anywhere that needed that. You know, like I'm not on stage. I'm not on TV. It was not necessary.
Yeah, I normally only do like the third or the half anyways, just because it's like, otherwise I don't know, I feel like it just is too much and it overshadows like my natural eye and I'm just like, meh, I don't need it.
Now I don't do it all. I just do it in the top if I use it. Also, I don't really wear eyeliner that much because it's so finicky.
Yeah, I feel like I don't ever use up my products before they expire. They just expire. And then I'm like, oh, I should probably get more in case I need it for an occasion.
And then they expire again.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you're anything like us, you probably have like just a select few makeup products, like maybe some mascara, one or two eyeshadow palettes for when you're feeling fancy, and some liner, and that's probably about it. Maybe some lipstick.
I love a good lip color. I always have mixed feelings though because I don't want to eat it.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what was the tip that I got for a lipstick way back in the high school days? Was I used to be on the dance team, And one of the things that they would have us do so that our lip color would stay on all day is, first off, it works better if your lips are ever so slightly chapped. Second off, you should line your entire lip and then put your lipstick on top. And that will make it stay.
I love that tip. I was never a lip liner person. I think mainly because color matching the two would always stress me out because they were never quite the same. I think also I, on a similar note of that, I like a good lip stain because it's not as like, it doesn't transfer, you know? Like, I don't like that look when it gets all over, say, your coffee cup. Because then I feel like every time I take a sip, I'm drinking lipstick.
Yeah, I agree. It's also, I can tell you, somebody who used to work in, like, the service industry when I was in, like, high school and college. If you go to wash a cup that has lipstick on it, chances are it'll probably stay. And it'll probably be there for the next person. Which is why a lot of restaurants give you straws, is because it's like, unless you're intensely scrubbing at that lipstick mark on the cup, it'll probably be there still in some capacity. So just something to think about next time you go out to eat.
I never thought about that, but I guess it makes sense. Because I feel like if you're working in service, you don't necessarily have time to stand there just scrubbing it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like kind of oily and just heavy, so it'll probably stay on there. You'll probably have somebody's lipstick on your cup.
I feel like, okay, since we've talked so much about makeup, my go-to if I'm going out and I am going to put it on, I mean like going out in the day, not like for an event, is literally just mascara. I fill in my brows, and then sometimes I remember a lip stain or lip whatever.
My go-to is I usually like to do a little bit of liner, a little bit of mascara. I'll put Aquaphor on my lips just to make sure that they're not chapped. Especially now that it's like the winter time. And then if I'm really feeling it, I have like this liquid highlighter and I just put it on my eyelids, kind of like a eyeshadow. It does continue to transfer throughout the day though, so you just got to be mindful. But it's a really pretty color. Like it's like a gold one. I think it's from like Wet n Wild or something. Not like an expensive one. But I put it a little bit like on my lids to give it like a little shimmer.
That's fun. I actually recently have really liked, just like you said, like the some sort of like chapstick or something look on your lips, because I feel like it gives them a slight sheen. And then, like I said, then I don't have to worry about the whole lipstick issue.
Yeah. Oh, while we're on the topic of chapstick, though, let me tell you, most chapsticks are trash. They're so bad. So if you want to have something that'll actually be like good for your lips, you want something that's going to be more like, from what I've heard, right? I'm definitely not an expert. But you want something more like Aquaphor or some kind of almost like a petroleum jelly kind of thing to leave it so that the moisture will stay. Whereas a lot of the chapsticks that they sell you in the store, like, they don't do that. They're just going to dry you out and it'll be awful. Recently this year, I started using Aquaphor, especially for the winter time, and it's been really nice. Like, I've really been liking it.
I can see that because I think I obviously, like everyone has like the stick ones, which some are better than others. But there was this one that I got once and I'm disappointed because I think I've heard that they reworked the formula and it's not as good now. But it was kind of more like a little like, I don't know, like a, it, I guess it was kind of like Aquaphor, but not that brand. And I noticed like you would put it on and it would stay there a lot longer.
Definitely. Speaking of Aquaphor, I'm just going to let you all know how much I love Aquaphor. Aquaphor is like my favorite, okay? It's not scented, so if you're somebody who's sensitive skinned or like maybe you just don't really like having a lot of scents on you because you have a very sensitive sense of smell, it's also really great to put on your hands if your hands get super chapped, especially in the winter. Like I know my hands used to get to the point where they'd be like cracked and bleeding all the time. Aquaphor is excellent to put on your hands, but it will be kind of greasy on your skin for a while. So just be mindful, like try to put it on when you're not about to like go to sleep or something, because otherwise it'll get all over your sheets and it'll be kind of gross, or at least like wear gloves or something like that. But it is really great for restoring moisture to places on your face. You can also use it for slugging. Have you ever heard of slugging, Leanne?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I got on like skincare TikTok a while back. And the rage was slugging. So essentially what it is you take like a heavier sort of moisturizer and you do all your serums and stuff. So you put all this stuff on your face and then you put your moisturizer over the top. And ideally it's like a petroleum jelly or like an Aquaphor that's going to be really a little bit heavier and it's going to sit on your face for a little bit longer. And what it does is it can, from what I heard, it can make the things that are underneath, like if all your oils and stuff, it can make them a little bit more potent. And it also really helps to, I believe it helps with acne and it also just helps with moisturizing your skin. But it's going to sit on your skin for like a couple hours. Like I would highly recommend that if you do it, you can do it before you go to bed, but don't be surprised if you wake up with a big Aquaphor face print on your pillow the next day.
I think that's an interesting point because I think even with non-Aquaphor products, I feel like most people are doing their skin routine when they're getting ready for bed. But I feel like I've noticed how much more time you have to, especially if you're doing multiple steps, you want to let it sink in. And then I'm like, I'm not going to stand in the bathroom for like an hour.
No, I think maybe just do it like when you get home from work, you know, like you're home from work. If you need to work out, do that first. So you can like shower and have fresh skin. But I would say right before bed, take it or leave it. I wouldn't mind doing it a couple hours earlier.
Yeah. Is that your skincare routine now? Or have you stopped?
I have done slugging twice, two or three times. And it was fine. You know, I think it was good to make sure that my skin was nice and moisturized, especially in the winter. But I mean, for me, it was just annoying because I felt like my skin was so sticky all the time. And I was like, oh, I just don't want to deal with this for several hours. So what I currently do now is I usually use a CeraVe face wash and then I put on some hyaluronic acid, or sometimes I'll put on this lotion that I have that has hyaluronic acid in it. And then sometimes I'll put some salicylic acid on my nose, which is supposed to like reduce the appearance of pores. And I've also been looking at using retinol, which I'm like kind of scared to do because for those of you who are like skincare newbies out there, kind of like myself, retinol is supposed to like help with skin texture. So like if you find that like, hey, I have a couple fine lines here and there, like you can put retinol on it once in a blue moon. Definitely not all the time. Please do not do it all the time. Otherwise, I think you will really irritate your skin. And it's supposed to help reduce the appearance of those fine lines.
I heard too that you have to build it up. Like, oh, start with maybe once a week. Because like you said, it does have a tendency to irritate your skin. I think also the thing, I don't know, I feel like it's a little high maintenance in that sense. Like you have to figure out like how to use it. And then also they're very much like you have to put sunscreen on all the time if you use this.
Yeah, because it makes your skin so sensitive to the sunlight. Scary.
To me, it's like, I feel like that's the next step. Because I feel like moisturizer, you can kind of just slap it on your face. There's no real, like, wrong way to do it. But with something like the hyaluronic acid, there is a wrong way to do it.
Yeah, I usually use, like, hyaluronic acid I'll use pretty frequently. Like, I would say every day, every other day. Just because it's, like, one of the more mild things that you can do, I feel like, for your skincare. It's just, like, just restoring the skin barrier and that's it. But I don't think you can use it with retinol for some reason. I want to say I read that somewhere.
Oh, retinol. That's what I was thinking. Not hyaluronic acid.
Yeah. Retinol is like, I have some and I want to try it, but I'm also kind of scared to try it. But I have it, so I should probably just try it.
I heard also, because I was like reading one of those health posts in the newspaper, and it was talking about how your skin needs vitamin C. And that, like, you want either to have, like, a toner with it or make sure your moisturizer has it. I don't know. I'm such a skin newbie that it's all a lot of information. And like you said, there are certain things that you can't use if you're using the other thing. And it's, like, just seems like a lot.
Yeah. I think vitamin C is supposed to be really good for, like, brightening. So I think if you've got, like, dark under eye circles, I think you're supposed to use it there.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. I don't know. But yeah, I think if I had like only a couple products that I'd recommend. To start off, I'd say you definitely need like a solid face wash. I would recommend one that's like unscented so that it's not going to irritate your skin. It kind of ties back to our scented versus unscented thing from earlier. And then I would say hyaluronic acid and a moisturizer. That would be like the first three that I would start off with if you're like a newbie to skincare. Oh, and sunscreen. Those would be like the first four things I would do. Everything else, you can do it, but I feel like from my experience, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I think there's so many products out there. And I think it's just a matter of investing the time to figure out which ones to use.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that I like to use sometimes is I have like a little aloe like leave-on lotion for afterwards. And I like that because it's nice and light. So like if my skin is starting to be like oily or something, I just use that one instead of a really intense moisturizer. So that one's kind of nice too. What does your skincare routine look like? Or are there any certain products that you like to use?
I'm kind of very basic right now. It's like wash your face. I've kind of been experimenting with different face washes. Like I'll use one and then use it up. And then see what happened. I think I'm currently using one by Skin FX.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I like it. I did use one by CeraVe that like said it was moisturizing. But then I felt like my cheeks were really dry all the time. And I don't know if it was that. So that's why I decided to switch them. I think obviously some of it is the weather. But that's what I've been doing for face wash. And then, like I said, I found a vitamin C toner because the interwebs told me to. And yeah, then I just put a moisturizer on. That's like it right now. I'm trying to figure it out.
I think the thing with skincare is like you can choose to have a lot of things that you use or not a lot of things that you use. But I think like some of the most important things are just, you know, washing your face, moisturizing, and sunscreen. I think if you do those three things, you'll probably be just fine. Like, especially if you're younger, like, everything else, like, yeah, it's nice to have, but you don't need to be a skincare expert. You don't need to know all these things. Again, this is my opinion, but I don't think you need to know all these things. I think that it's just, you know, you can start to gradually build if you want to, but if you don't want to, that's okay too. Yeah, see, and I feel like that's the thing too, is like, unless you consult a dermatologist or something, it's like, you don't know what you can and can't mix and match.
I feel like sometimes it's nice to ask somebody and just get a definitive answer. Like, for you, you should do this.
Yeah, and I feel like it's nice because then it's more personalized, you know, because what works for someone else might not work for you, and that's okay. Like, we're all different people.
I think that's a totally good point, and I think it makes it so hard when I'm trying to buy products because I'll read the reviews, and one person will be like, this is great, it's a miracle cream, and then the other person will be like, this is garbage, never buy it. And sometimes it could be the product, but I think a lot of times it's literally what is that person's skin like compared to yours. But also, it's kind of expensive, and I'm like, I don't want to try out this $30 cream and just like cross my fingers.
Yeah, I feel like a good starter store for people who are looking to start out, in my opinion, is The Ordinary. They've got a lot of like serums and stuff for like $10. So personally, I like them. I know that there's a lot of varied opinions out there. Like some people are like, oh, you use The Ordinary. They have such like cheap products, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know what? I am just starting out in my skincare journey. I'm not going to drop $60 on a serum that I don't even know if I'm going to like. Okay, I got to try out like the basic version first. Give me the Walmart version. That's what I need.
I'm actually looking at their stuff. I think what's kind of nice about it is if you're like, I'm looking for this specific thing, it looks like they have just like a vial of it. Versus sometimes when you look at, say, like a toner that like has a bunch of different things, you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. So I think it might be an interesting way of approaching.
Yeah, I agree. Because I know that I'd gone there with some of my friends, including my friend Kate, who was like pretty into skincare. And they were like, oh my gosh, we got to stop by The Ordinary. And I'd never been in their store before. And that was kind of how I got introduced to them first, was some of my friends were like, hey, let's stop in here and check it out. And I was like, I have no idea what any of these products are. Haha. So that was kind of my first introduction to the store, but I do like it. I think that it's, you know, they've got like some good just basic things. You can pick and choose what you need.
I think it's almost like whenever you're getting into anything, there could be things that are more expensive that are, quote, better. But I feel like when you're starting, I don't know, I feel like it's like every hobby or every different thing has like the entry level stuff. And I feel like people tend to look down on it. But then also I just think people need to chill, because when you're new, that's where you're going to start, because you don't want to throw, like you said, all your money into something when you don't know how to do it or how to work so it's the most efficient.
Yeah, it's kind of like art supplies. Like if you're just starting out, am I going to recommend that you get Prismacolors for your first set of colored pencils as like a five-year-old? No, I'm not going to recommend that. Like, please go and get the Crayola ones. Like, got to start somewhere. Start at the lower level. And then once you find like what you like about it, what you don't like about it, make sure that you enjoy doing it. Then you can go and you can level up as much as you want.
I think that's definitely a good point, because sometimes I feel like when people start a new hobby, me included, you get very enthusiastic. And like you go all out getting stuff. And I think it's important to like rein it in and make sure you're going to stick with it before you go and buy all the things.
Definitely. Well, I think that this has been a pretty good episode on skincare routine. We've had some nice little tangents in there. So our next book club is going to be The Paris Bookseller by Carrie Maher, and that will be dropping on March 6th.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion on our skincare / self-care routine, and we'd love to hear from you if you have any tips or products that you may like. You can send us an email or DM us on Instagram, and don't forget to review Zillennial's podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find us at Zillennial's podcast on Instagram or email us at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to hit the subscribe button and stay a while.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.